kind of worked out well. We're confused, but it worked out well.
Beautiful. Well, if you guys don't mind, I'll get the recorder going so we can dive into Trauma and talk about the film and a little bit about you guys, and we can go. Perfect. So to kind of start out with, guys, I know that you guys have obviously worked together on like Undecided and Medal of Victory, but tell me a bit about your connection and then how everything got connected to Harry, because he was with the actual unit as far back as like 2011, but he's been dealing with being in that side of the world since 09, if I'm not mistaken.
Exactly. Ron, do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, so David and I went to, so David owns The Colony, which is a production company in New York City. He has a roster of directors, which he basically sells out for commercials and varying other degrees of content. And so I came on board back in 2014? I think it was 2014 as the executive producer, and so David and I worked really closely selling, marketing our directors, and Harry was one of the directors that was on David's roster whenever I came on board. And so as I became familiar with the rest of the directors and the team that we were ultimately going out and selling, Harry Real, one of the things that we were marketing for him was this trailer that he had cut, and he had branded it Trauma, and yeah, that was kind of the onstart of my interest in the project, and basically, once I had seen the trailer, I was very, you know, obviously moved and excited about it, so I had asked David, you know, had Harry cut this? The teacher, like, I'd love to watch it, and like, I don't think so. So that's sort of where it all stemmed from. And then we reached out to Harry, checked in with him to see, you know, what's the status of this film. To which he told us, you know, it just lives on a hard drive. I haven't done anything with it outside of cut this trailer. And so that was the beginning of it. And then David and I sort of came together and worked with Harry to determine how we were going to ultimately get it done.
And then you know what so when we met Harry, and he was working for us directing commercials, what Harry had was basically the footage that he'd shot in Afghanistan, and then he had done one trip to the States where he'd met a couple of the guys and he'd filmed a little bit more footage of them, but he still had no idea what he was going to do with the project. But at that point, he kind of thought, you know, he had this great footage, and he was really curious to know what was happening to the guys post-deployment. But he didn't know quite what to do. And actually, Ryan was the person who kind of championed the whole thing and said, "Harry, you're crazy. This footage is amazing. You better go out and we're going to actually make this into a film." So with Ryan's kind of effort, he kind of rallied the team, and we then stepped in and did the nuts and bolts producing and getting the film made. We got Harry back on the road meeting people. We raised money to bring on an editor. We had an editor working on the project for about 8 months. So that involved kind of a lot of us kind of pulling together resources and making it happen.
How were the families chosen? I believe there are six that we get to see from the medevac unit that Harry was with. How did you guys focus in on certain ones, and how open were the families to the whole situation?
Yeah, I can speak to that. I think the interesting thing was Harry had a bigger collection of people when we started. I think he had, well, it was about 9 or 10 or something that he had quite a lot of footage of.
Yeah, I mean, there were multiple subjects, and I do know that was kind of the hardest part of the process, was trying to focus in on the subjects that you ultimately see in the film, because there were so many that had so many unique stories and different ways of dealing with things, and that was the one thing was we had to focus the audience's attention into the characters or the subjects rather that ultimately provided the most insight and gave us the most information and most opportunity to kind of really dive into their personal dealings and sufferings as they sort of reacclimated themselves.
A big part of this was the editor's involvement. Amy Light, L-Y-T-E, is the editor. She's actually a Texas girl as well, so that's kind of might be interesting for you. But she took Harry's characters, and we kind of had a bit of we had a period where we sort of went through all the material. We hadn't finished shooting yet, and we kind of pinned up a board of people. We had like photos of all the characters laid out on the wall, and we kind of analyzed everything in terms of who do we have the most footage of in Afghanistan, who of those people we had good footage of in Afghanistan were great subjects and were willing to talk, because some people had great stories but they just weren't great subjects for documentary, and who was kind of different, which stories were different enough so we didn't tell the same story over and over again. And that last thing was the biggest criteria. You know, we didn't want the film to get boring because everyone had the same problem. And we were very careful to find characters of a range of ages, different stages of deployment. Some people are younger and are still on active duty. Some people are retired. We made sure we had kind of the full range of characters. So we had pilots, we had crew captains, we had a flight engineer, we had straight medics, and we got that sort of whole spread. I think in the reality of the unit, there were kind of a double up of those guys who were flying on, you know, on missions, and we try to focus as much as we could on kind of that group that flew together. And I think that's pretty much where we landed. So when we do see the footage of the guys in the choppers, we've basically seen the guys we're interviewing. And that worked really well because you've got this sense of, you know, them there on the deployment and the same people now. And Harry kind of managed to engineer kind of reintroducing them at various points in the film as well.
When working with Amy on the editing, was there discussions of certain lengths of cuts? Were you guys thinking about, you know, potential television broadcasting? You know, was a feature length always the idea? I mean, with this type of material, obviously your avenues for distribution are kind of different than, you know, what you guys are used to, yeah. I think.
Exactly. Ryan, you want to speak to that?
Yeah, it was kind of unique. You know, we tossed around a couple ideas, but ultimately we landed on a feature, and I think it was just due to the fact that we had so much content. I mean, Harry had hundreds of hours, and the reality is this is a story that is sort of evergreen, it's ongoing, it's something that you can pick back up in a year from now, 2 years from now, 10 years from now, and just continuously check in with people and subjects and see how they're doing. And that was kind of the unique side of it, was this is a feature that we can ultimately make that's going to resonate forever. And when looking at it from, you know, do we go with like a short narrative documentary? Do we look into doing a feature documentary? Do we look into, you know, doing this more as a series? They were all things that we had talked about, but we just realized that the feature version of it is the one that would ultimately get the story out quick, but also get it out in a way that's going to encompass everything that these guys ultimately did. So we felt like we were able to get the most information on screen while also keeping things a little bit more focused. And yeah, I mean, David, what do you think?
I think the only thing I'll say is, like, I think we always thought a feature length was the ideal length because we had so much information and it was hard to shorten the story. I think we always knew that if we had to do a sort of TV hour, we'd have to drop a couple of characters to do that. And I think we kind of put that decision off. We kind of figured, you know, if it so happened that someone wanted to buy it for television, they said we need to have a 50-minute cut, that we would have to do a kind of a brutal recut and rethink things. In the meantime, I think the director, Harry, had a really strong vision for what he wanted to do. He wanted to make a documentary that wasn't like other documentaries, that was much more cinematic and kind of took you into a world. And the best way to do that was to make it at feature length.
For you guys and all the variety of different projects you guys are getting involved in, was there any other projects that helped along this process and just kind of knowing how to handle something like this, or was this something completely fresh and new and just the way that Harry wanted to do something big with it?
I'll speak to that. I think that, you know, for me, I've come through the television commercials business, and that's the world I've always known. But I've been slowly pushing towards long form and narrative. And we did our first couple of projects before Trauma. So it was kind of, every project's been a kind of a definite new experience. Certainly with documentary, you know, I had never imagined getting involved in documentary before. And I was kind of swept into this because the opportunity arose. But it's kind of now put us on a path of doing a lot more documentary work, and it's kind of interesting. It's something I never. It's one of those things that kind of change your path a little bit, because you are doing one thing and suddenly you do something new, and it becomes, you know, what you do after that.
Yeah, and I mean,
Harry had a vision, so I mean, I think we definitely supported Harry's strong vision.
As far as from here on out, how impactful has it been on your ideas for the material coming into the colony? Are you guys now looking for these types of, not necessarily military based, but documentary style, you know, even commercials or anything that just, has it changed the way you look at what you guys want to work on as a whole?
I can speak for the colony, and Ryan and I have been talking about some of the projects as well. So, you know, I think because of the nature of the way the business is working, I think we're looking more at things that can be developed as series. I think there are a lot more kind of buyers for series, but we're definitely working on nonfiction series at the moment. We've got a couple of things today in quite late stage development in the nonfiction series realm, and we're definitely looking for things all the time. You know, in terms of military, it's interesting because I'm Australian, and anything related to military is kind of new to me. So I'm kind of looking at it with fresh eyes, and I learned a huge amount making Trauma, and I'm definitely interested in doing things that are kind of that look, explore other stories and new interesting angles. You know, I think I actually really hope people come to us with some interesting military stories from this, but I would only be interested in taking it on if it offered something that was new. I think it has to. There, I'm sure there are lots of stories that haven't been told yet that are unique stories, and I'm looking for that new unique story that we could jump on board with.
And
you know, just to add to that as well, you know, for me, the way that I will say that I've grown as a person being a part of Trauma, it's been a very rewarding experience for both David and I. We talk a lot. I personally no longer work at the colony for David, but as you mentioned, you know, we have a few irons in the fire as far as projects that we're talking about collaborating on. But for both of us, it was a tremendous opportunity to dive into something that, you know, as David said, it was a lot of uncharted waters for him, you know, being Australian, and then for me, you know, I'm American. I was born into a military family. My grandfather and my father were both in the military, so there was a lot of pride that I took
in the process of making it, and just collaborating with Harry and seeing these guys and meeting these guys and having a relationship with them. And it was definitely one of the most rewarding things that I think we've done. And yeah, it was crazy the first time we met Mike, Mitch, you know, all of these guys. It was almost like we were just picking up, and we had never met them before, but we had so much access and had heard so much about them and really understood them as people, and really felt for them. And we always just wanted to do justice, and Harry wanted to do justice by them and show them truthfully as they are in the film.
Ryan, are you still connected into the visual effects side of the world, or have you moved on to more producing? I've got to ask.
Both.
I mean, you have an extensive film group of working in visual effects. Did any of that come into play? I mean, that's obviously so different. I mean, just looking at the films, but I was curious, how did that at all help in kind of dealing with the amount of footage and especially the war footage, not war footage, excuse me, the footage in Afghanistan that dealt with the medevac unit? I mean, did any of that translate or cross over just in your, I mean, you've worked on so many different big budget films that deal with some varying subjects, but did any of that cross over?
I mean, to be honest, no, but yes, and at the same time, visual effects is an industry that is very demanding, but so I guess in that regard, you know, you're dealing with so much that you have to be very organized. But from like producing a film and producing visual effects, they're very different. With the film and with documentary, as David said, it's something that took sort of creating a new path. We were kind of working our way through it as we were going. Producing visual effects is much more, you know, the creative process is done, and as far as like
the edit, very cost based on individual.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, whereas with the documentary, it was much more storytelling and finding the story in the edit. So there were a lot of just conversations and meetings and sitting down with Amy and Harry and diving into what is the story here and what is the ultimate feeling that we want an audience to walk away from. So,
you know,
the short answer is yes and no.
I want to actually say something to Ryan. So I think the thing about it is, right, Ryan's always done visual effects, but what Ryan also is really good at is storytelling. And, you know, he's one of those people who's working in his own screenplays as well. And as am I. I'm a screenwriter and director as well. So everyone on the project was a filmmaker, and you know, we all do other things as our day jobs, but we're all kind of writers anyway. And I think when you get into a documentary, it's kind of the ultimate writer's medium in a way, because you as a producer and as an editor, you kind of become the writer of the project, in the sense that there's material's been shot, but it's not really a film yet, and you kind of have to get into the edit room, you have to kind of figure out what story you're going to tell and how you're going to tell it. And that was a very collaborative process, you know, between all of us, between Ryan and I and Amy and Harry. And it worked out really well, I think, because we all are kind of storytelling type producers.
Very nice. And I mean, as far as what I got to see, we got kind of the DCP side of it. So I was blown away by the movie. I'm curious. It is a veteran specific festival that you guys are putting Trauma into, and it is highlighted on its own night. There are going to potentially, but I basically from what we've experienced in the past, a lot of veterans in the audience. Have you guys had the reactions from the veteran community? Ryan, I know you mentioned you have family in the military. How have they been impacted by this story? I mean, viscerally, it's hard for me to think of another movie I've seen this amount of footage in, and kind of a lot of footage that a lot of people I don't think realize what was going on in Afghanistan, specifically in the medical side. I was blown away by what we got to see. Have veterans come up to you, or have you had any experience in their reactions to it?
Yeah, I mean, the first time that we ever screened the film was actually on Veterans Day in 2017. So we did a private screening up in Albany, New York.
Friends and family screening.
Yeah, exactly. Friends and family, where Mish, one of the pilots in the film, is based. So Mike had come down from Watertown, and we had a really nice sort of Veterans Day, and it was super powerful. It was the same day we ultimately released the trailer that went, sort of viral in a sense. But that was sort of the initial, I mean, again, we had screened it within, like, our families and with close friends and things like that, but this was the first time that we ultimately put it out there, and there were a handful of veterans in the audience, and there were a handful of colleagues and wives and brothers and sisters of these subjects, and their response was kind of the, wow, like, we did ultimately what we set out to do, and that is just be true to what it is, and that reaction was phenomenal. And then as we continue to share it, and we had screened it at Stony Brook Film Festival in front of a few hundred people, and same idea, a mixed audience, but the veteran response has been so tremendous that it reminds them and kind of takes them back there. And I remember whenever we were in Albany, the one woman who is featured in the trailer, she's sitting outside smoking a cigarette, in her operating uniform, she was there, and she actually, needed to step out because it was so powerful, and it really just kind of took her back to that time. And so, yeah, I think the veteran response has been incredible, and we're really proud of that. That's exactly what we wanted to do, was to move people and allow people to have the opportunity to continue to talk about it and not feel so alone or so, abnormal. I think this is a very normal process, and as the story gets written, and this, war ultimately, hopefully one day will come to an end, we'll look back on it, hopefully get some clarity as to how to deal with coming home and, trying to be, husband and brother and wife.
One thing I'd add to that is that it's really been interesting, not just hearing the seeing response of veterans, but seeing response of veteran families. I think the one kind of insight we've gained from this process is that a lot of veterans don't talk about their experiences very much or their feelings. I think the most unique thing about the film is that Harry, because of the unique situation of him actually being there with those guys, and for a reasonably long amount of time, that he actually managed to sort of become part of the team. He was kind of telling the story as an insider, and that's what's really unique. So I think while a lot of veterans don't talk about their feelings, Harry, because he was one of them, they told him a lot of things. And I think the interesting thing is that the sort of insights that we get from the veterans talking about how they feel are things that most veteran families don't get to hear. And I think that the idea of seeing, talking about it, and seeing the effect of it is what's really unique about the documentary. And a lot of families have really said that. I mean, I fielded a call from a woman who had seen the film, who said that she wants to know if she could set up a screening at her. She runs a charity for supporting veterans in Sioux City. Is that Idaho? I get mixed up. I started talking about it, and then she had to hold the phone for 5 minutes while she cried, because she told me she just watched this that morning, and the there had been a lot of suicides in the town. She just watched it, and she thought everyone in her town, she didn't, you know, everyone in America should see this film, because there's so much in the film that, as an observer, you have no sense of, and without people having a sense of how people are feeling and why, you can't help people. And she thought it was like the most important film that she'd ever seen. So she was being very kind to us, but it was interesting. And she did have a screening, and she wrote to say that, you know, 700 people, military, non-military, support people, all came, and it was a really emotional experience for everybody. And she just once again says everyone in the country should see the film.
Beautiful. Well, guys, I've appreciated the time. I'd love to kind of end things by asking, where does the film kind of go from here? You brought up that she wanted to bring a screening, but as far as scheduling, you know, what are you guys hoping to do in the next few months, year with the project? And then also, what you guys are working on, if you guys can share anything in your world as well.
Okay, I'm going to answer the first one quickly. I think the ideal thing, I think, for us would be to get the word out, not just to the general public, although that's really important, but I think also to people who might want to use the film as, you know, for screenings for any of these kind of groups, you know, like for veterans groups, for veteran support groups, for family groups. I think the hard part is letting everyone know about us, but when we do connect with people, the response is phenomenal. So I think just building word of mouth to get it out to people, so get screened to as many people as possible, is kind of our ideal scenario. I mean, I'd love a TV sale, which we haven't done yet, but I don't want to. It's kind of not the priority at the moment. I think the priority is getting it out to the people who are most, who are going to be most interested by the film, and who it's most helpful for. I think that's our biggest hope. I think, Ryan, anything else you want to say on that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, as you sort of touched on, I mean, the other big thing that we would love to have it be sort of incorporated into is just the educational process, you know, of people planning on going overseas, going to war, people, you know, obviously coming home, and things like that, because there's so much to be learned here, and really, we learned so much in the process, and neither one of us were over there. We didn't see anything, but we hear their stories, and we just think that there's a lot of people that are dealing with trauma and suffering through issues. And, you know, the big thing is just to realize you aren't alone, realize that nothing's going to fix it, but let's try to work on a way in which we can help talk about it and make people not feel so alone in that process. And then, yeah, I mean, as far as what we're working on, I mean, I can speak to myself, and then, you know, as we had mentioned, we are working on a couple of things together. I have another documentary that I'm in the process of writing. I've a narrative film that I'm writing and getting off the ground, as well as two projects that I just had recently optioned by a production company in LA. So that's what I have going on.
Yeah, I'm working on a lot more doc series, but I actually can't mention them yet because I'm working with partners. But some long form some doc series. So I'm kind of focusing on that doc series world, the doc series world, and as well as the feature world, and I've got a, I don't know if you saw my IMDb, but I made a short film a couple of years ago that had sort of just finished its festival run. I think we did like 50 or 60 festivals at the end, I think. I optioned material from the same author that based that first short film on, and I've now got a finished feature script that I'm trying to pull together to shoot. So we're busy.
Wow. Well, guys, once again, thank you for the time, and